We're all familiar with the news accounts of the extramarital affair involving David Petraeus and Paula Broadwell that ultimately led to the resignation of the CIA director. We may not be quite so familiar with the people behind the headlines and their motivations, though. And joining us live now with some perspective, Michael O'Hanlon, Director of Research for the Foreign Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. Michael, good morning. You know both of these people, and you felt compelled to really write a defense of Paula Broadwell.
Good morning, Mike and Bruce. Yeah, well, thanks for the chance to say something positive about Paula. I don't want to sound like I'm defending any of her actions. That's not the word I would first choose. I just want people to understand a little fuller portrait of her, and this is a person who made huge mistakes. And the way I try to sum it up is, you know, the media coverage of her has really piled on, I think, and portrayed a person who is not the person I know, or at least not the person I think I know. And I think we should think of this whole very sad episode really as a case study in human weakness and not in human evil. And that's the distinction that I've tried to make. And talking about some of her more positive attributes, which I'm happy to do with you as well, of course.
That's a very interesting distinction. Have you talked with her since all of this publicity at all?
I've been in some touch with her, yeah.
How's she holding up?
I think, you know, she's really struggling to focus on her family. And I think, she understands, obviously, that the criticisms of what she did are going to be severe and understandably so. But what's a little hard, I think, on everyone who knows her, and presumably she herself, is to see some of the level of, piling on. And I'll give you an example. There was a recent news story that made a big deal out of her supposed untruthfulness and got into this issue of, was she really the number one most fit person in her West Point class 15 years ago, and said that apparently she was number two her senior year. Well, you know, fine. She was number one her junior year and number two her senior year, as I understand it. But that became one of the key exhibits in a portrayal of her as some mendacious person who didn't know how to tell the truth. And that's the kind of thing that I think gets pretty hard.
You think some people presume that she was just trying to get close to David Petraeus for the ultimate outcome that we've all heard about now?
Yeah, and that's not fair. I mean, there's no doubt that she was very taken with him, as a lot of people have been over the years. Mm-hmm. Obviously very impressed with his military accomplishments, very fortunate to be able to write this biography of him. And I would not claim that it's a critical analysis or critical history. I saw the book in draft form, and I read it, of course, in complete form. And the way I would describe it is a useful contribution to some of the details of how he did military leadership in the field. Mm-hmm. And others will have to do the critical history. She was too close, even before anything happened, to be able to be seen as an independent historian. But what she did was go out in the field and spend time not only with command in Kabul, but with a lot of her contemporaries in the brigade and battalion level, and tell the story of the war from that vantage point, and tell the story of a lot of the details of how he operated from the point of view of somebody who could appreciate the military aspects of it as well. So the book is a useful contribution, even if it shouldn't be seen as a critical history. And again, that's the kind of distinction I'd like to see made about her in these difficult days.
Now, you know, the days ahead may be difficult as well. What do you envision for her? What kind of future career can she have? What about, you know, General Petraeus?
Well, these are great questions, and really two very different questions, even though they're obviously related. I think with him, there's no doubt that we have experience on what people who are national leaders and have fallen from grace have been able to do subsequently, and obviously Bill Clinton is sort of exhibit A, but we have a lot of other people who have had challenges and found some way back towards either public service or private contributions, and I have no doubt he'll figure out a way. But I think, you know, he himself presumably knows that his first priority now is his family. With her, I think the road back is tougher because this is the thing that gave her any kind of independent status and standing in the broader foreign policy field, her work about General Petraeus. And now it's been largely discredited, even though I think it does have this enduring value I mentioned before. So I don't really even know how to begin to answer your question there.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a more gradual thing. It's going to take a lot of time, but she probably has to focus first and foremost on being, you know, mom and wife and Paula back home and making sure that all those parts of her life work for a good while before she even really focuses too much on your question.
Right. Thanks, Michael. Good to talk to you this morning.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Michael O'Hanlon with the Brookings Institution.